The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, everybody, it's Chavin Berg, and you are listening to the Odyssey Files with David and Michael. And let me tell you, it's almost as painful as a Skype glitch.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 7:01 on Monday night, which means you're listening to the Odyssey Files. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. How are you today, Dave?
I'm fantastic. It's an absolutely beautiful day here in sunny Lindstrom, Minnesota. 84 degrees and just gorgeous.
Yeah, I actually had to turn on my air today because I couldn't sleep.
So. Yeah, I had the air on in the car on the way home just because I was like, yeah, you know. The wind was
enough heat.
Yeah, the wind was nice, but it was like just cranking. And I'm like, no. So, yeah, the air came on in the car today. So
I actually saw somebody calling for fall. It's too hot.
No.
was not me, I assure you. So... it's funny, Dave, because I actually played the Chad Lindberg promo where he talks about the Skype glitch.
Yep.
And and our wonderful guest this evening, who was very, very willing to work with us when 3 weeks ago we had the 20 inches of snow, which kept Dave and I from doing the show. So we rescheduled to this week. Miss Dana Mitchell, how are you this evening?
I'm just fine. Like I said, it's the merry month of May, so I couldn't be happier.
And I bring up the Skype glitch because even though it wasn't really Skype's fault, I was really scrambling. Dana really didn't get on until probably like 5 seconds before, like the promos and the music and everything started playing because the number I had was wrong.
Yeah. So. That happens.
It does. And like I was freaking out. I was like, Dave's like, try again, you know, try to call me. He's like, it didn't connect last time. I'm like, we have a problem. I'm like, it's 3 minutes before the show and I'm getting the operator.
Interestingly, you called me with a West Virginia exchange when I actually have a Maryland exchange. So it's
I think that is actually Skype. I think Skype uses that because I still have to use Skype to call you. I didn't know that. So I have a West Virginia exchange. Go me. So basically I could call anybody in West Virginia and they would think that I was in West Virginia.
Well, probably yes.
We're gonna have some fun with that one at some point in time. So Dana, this is a first for us. So you are our first ever three-peat guest.
Wow, I am flattered. Oh, thank you.
We just can't quit you, Dana.
Oh.
So the show tonight is dealing with something that I don't have I know about it. I can't say I know a lot about it. But this actually stemmed from a conversation that you and Dave had after our last show was over, and that is dealing with reincarnation. And what funny thing was that a couple, about a month and a half ago or so, Dave and I were going over when we wanted to schedule everybody, when we wanted to do each show. And I was like, oh yeah, well, we have Dana coming back for your conversation with Resurrection. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you guys talked about that. And he's like, I don't remember that. And I'm like, yeah, you guys had that whole conversation. And we went over and over it. And he could not remember anything about it, even though it was clear in my mind. So we got off the call. And like 5 minutes later, he sends me a text message. He goes, you mean reincarnation? And I was like, ah, tomato, tomato. But I had that really wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say resurrection and reincarnation is kind of two totally separate things. And I'm thinking, Dana and I, did we have a really lengthy and in-depth conversation about resurrection? I'm like, wow. Because, man, I'm telling you what, I know I hit my head when I fell recently, but I didn't think I hit it that hard. So,
my fault. What's funny was that 3 weeks ago, when I made the promo for our original show that we were going to do it, I ended up writing Resurrection again. I'm like, this doesn't look right. I'm like, what is wrong?
Happy
like,
Easter.
Oh. Yeah, whoops. Yeah,
exactly. Happy Easter.
Actually, I think it might have been right around that time, too. Because Easter was earlier that month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's looking for a reason, though.
Right. maybe that's it. So I want to get I was doing some research on this last night on the reincarnation thing. And there's a sentence that I read that made me laugh because I knew, but the last part I didn't. I'd like to get your guys' opinion. Dave, and you might have actually read this as well. So it says, depending upon the tradition, these existences may be human, animal, spiritual, or in some instances, vegetable.
Or mineral.
Now, I can't remember anybody ever in any story dealing with reincarnation saying, well, I was a carrot in my last life.
Well, so, a rock.
You know, and you know, it's funny. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dana.
Some people do believe that we have to transmigrate through all the kingdoms, the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, you know, there's, you know, a few twists on people's reincarnation beliefs, and that is one of them.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw this out there. So if I come back as a nice-sized chunk of rose quartz, how does my life expectancy end? Right? I mean, because is
that rose is quartz, a good question.
You know, because I mean, like, so then that means that maybe that's the final step, and like every time we find like a cool stone, that's somebody who was previously alive, and then turned into the final thing would be turned into a mineral.
Perhaps. You know, that reminds me, I found a rock in my mother-in-law's house in her spare bedroom, which is seldom used and always dark. And this rock looked like it had mica or crystal or something in it. And I went and then I asked her where she got it and she couldn't remember, but she said, you can have it if you want. So I took this rock home, which, and I set it on my porch so it could absorb some sunlight. It had not had any light of any form in I don't know, decades maybe. And I wrote a poem about this rock because I actually felt like it became this happy rock. Maybe it was just the light reflecting off of it, just made it brighter and shiner. And I thought, you know, nobody thinks about what it's like for a rock. I mean, everything has energy. Crystals have energy and people are aware of that and how crystals can help them. But, you know, I think here's this rock who it has experiences in its own way. It feels the rain. It feels the sun. It feels life passing passing it by or crawling on it or what have you. So, yeah, I know. You have a crazy guess.
No, because I was just about to say that, like, whereas I laugh about that sentence, that the original sentence,
mm-hmm.
you're starting to make it sound like it's actually possible, and I don't know how I feel about that.
And I've studied comparative religions, and I've studied metaphysics, and I've studied mythology, and I just come to the conclusion that if any of it is possible, all of it is possible.
Well, now that's a deep thought process moment right there.
Well, Dave, what did you say in your message yesterday that we were going to make people change the way they thought about their existence?
That's correct. I did say that. I said that's the goal. So
that's the goal. And look at what we're doing. Rocks have souls.
Okay.
Or spirits, perhaps. I'm not making any dogmatic statements. I'm just throwing food out for thought.
So you think that's where the phrase dumb as a rock comes from? Like maybe like all idiots.
There's a few dumb rocks.
Exactly.
I'm going to speculate. No, but
no.
It's a thought, Dave.
I agree.
So, like I said, I don't have. I just wanted to get your take on that sentence because it threw me off. Like I can understand plants. Cause they're right. Alive, you know, I can wrap my head around if something was alive or is alive, you know, the bugs, flowers, you know, humans, animals, mm-hmm. I can wrap my head around all of that. But a rock, I believe by like definition is an inanimate object. And so
it is inanimate. Or is it?
I guess that's what we're trying to understand because apparently.
Okay. So I was going to say, so here's a really interesting
thing. They just move really, really slow.
So if you take a look online and look up like, and I don't know exactly, I don't remember what it was that I searched, but there is a picture of a couple of different rocks that are in the desert. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, over the course of time, where this rock literally has moved in the sand, and it actually looks like this rock is like moving forward in the sand. Now, geologists would tell you that rock is moving forward because of the tremors of the earth or the shifting this or gravitational pull or all this other stuff. But if that were the case, then wouldn't every single rock move?
Well, it's all kind of subjective. I mean, I think things are moving. Things all have a vibration, and rocks are probably of the densest vibration there is, or that we're aware of. And so if there is movement, it would be really, really, really slow. I mean, measurable by thousands or even millions of years. But I'm not a geologist.
I'm not either.
And I'm not even saying it so. I'm just speculating. I do know stones and rocks and crystals have energy to them. Yes, I accept that as truth.
Let's back this up a second before we get too in depth here on the rock theory. So
okay.
Let's go back. So tell our audience what you, and I know it goes across many, many different types of religions and stuff, but
mm-hmm.
give us a little bit of background on the whole entire thought process of reincarnation, kind of what it is.
Well, it is the belief that when the physical body dies, the spirit, and depending on the belief system, transmigrates to another body or goes to a place of rest for a while between the lifetimes, and then at some point reincarnates and is reborn into another body. And the purpose of it is in that, in a great deal of the belief systems, the idea is that each lifetime you're learning lessons that is bringing you closer to the divine, closer to the God. And as you spiritually evolve, that's what your aim is. The aim is to get off the wheel of the return. It's to stop reincarnating and just, you know, become one with the universe, or one with God, the God form. So, but there are there are people that believe that they just are reborn perpetually through, you know, the ages, with no real goal in sight, just, you know, have lifetime after lifetime. Whereas I believe that it's for a purpose.
So do you think then at any given time that there are only a finite number of lives that are in this cycle, and then you have to kind of wait until one of those lives makes the transgression to be able to get off of the wheel, like you said, before it can be replaced with a new life form?
Well, for one thing, I don't think it's simply confined to our planet. So, I mean, I think there's other life forms and things in the universe that are involved. I don't believe that everyone has to from what I understand, and I'm just telling you how I learned and accepted as truth or whatever, is that to reincarnate is actually a choice. I mean, you can choose not to reincarnate, but it seems that people choose to reincarnate because they know it's to further themselves in their spiritual evolution.
I would agree with that. That's kind of what I know as my belief system of, like, the theory of reincarnation, is that you're working towards the grand goal of being closer to the divine. And then when you finally get there, when you finally get through your final life form, whatever that form is, and you go, then you are, you know, you're ready to go, and then you're done. You kind of move in, you move into heaven, you know, to use a term. So.
And I first, I don't know if I heard the word reincarnation or I heard of the concept when I was like 8 years old, and I asked my parents about it, who gave me a very objective answer. They didn't say it was so or that it wasn't. But it struck me as truth at that age, and I've believed in it ever since. And I've gotten more refined in my philosophies about it. I tend to think that it's human or maybe animals, but mostly human incarnations. I know some religions believe that you can go back, you know, that if you're terrible in this life, in your next life, you'll be some kind of snake or a lower animal form. I tend to just in my mind picture things going forward. And I understand like just people are given opportunities, you know, to improve themselves between the lifetimes. And I don't know if this is so, but that souls that are really, really unredeemable or whatever, just they cease to exist. I'm talking about perhaps someone who's been a serial killer several lifetimes in a row or something, or has no desire to change their base nature.
Right. So somebody who's just kind of evil, and using the word evil in air quotes, but kind of somebody, somebody who's evil over and over and over and over and over again, and then basically their, you know, free chances expire.
Right.
Right. And then the powers that be say, you know what, we're not going to go and we're not going to do this a 10th time. You know, we've done it 9 times. We're not going to do it a 10th mm-hmm. time. So then do you think that that spirit at that point, then at that life form that still exists, you know, that energy still is there. Do you think then that goes to the proverbial hell, or do you think that it just, like you said, ceases to exist?
I tend to think that it ceases to exist. I don't know that I believe in, like, hell. I believe there's an afterlife until you get so far along and you become just like one with the God source. And I think at that point, you know, maybe even personality is lost. You just become one.
Right. So you just basically become absorbed.
Right.
And you just add life. You add more life energy to the supreme being.
Yes. Yes.
Mike's looking at me like, absorbed. I'm not going to be absorbed.
I have mixed feelings about that myself.
I don't think that I want it.
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. That's through, you know, probably, I don't know how many. Yeah,
probably.
Eons. Yes. Eons. I mean, it isn't something that would just happen. It would be, you know, you'd probably have a lifetime, get to a point where you're like a bodhisattva or avatar or whatever. And it's just like a pizza, one with everything, or a hot dog. Oh.
Okay, you did say pizza. All right. I thought I misunderstood you.
Yeah, Mike feels
better. No, that joke, the guy, you know, what is it? I want one with everything. That's the objection. The object is to be one with everything.
Right.
So what do you, how do you want your hot dog? I want one with everything.
There you go.
Or your pizza. That's what I always say. I have one. Never mind. I'm being silly. I'm being.
That's quite all right. But I don't know if I would want to go over, you know, like I can get behind the thought of going through all of these lifetimes to try to and better yourself and try to get mm-hmm. to the best form that your soul can reach in order to move on to the next plane or the next level. Mm-hmm. But I can't get behind going from life to life to life, living all of these lifetimes to try to better myself so I can be food. I'm not doing this so I can better, you know, if the whole thing is to better yourself, then why would I do, it's not even bettering myself. It's marinating myself in energy so that I can be roast chicken to another, a deity.
Well, when you say self, are you talking about the ego or the id, or are you talking about your soul?
Soul. Isn't that what it is?
Your soul. Well, we're multi-layers. We are made up of different bodies. Yeah, we're like an onion. We have the soul. You have the emotional body, you have the physical body, you have the mental body, the ethereal body, you know, the astral body. And that's, to digress a little bit, that's what I think a lot of what people, when people see ghosts, I don't think they're seeing earthbound souls. I think they're seeing the astral body or the ethereal body that's been left behind. Because that still contains personality. When you reincarnate, you're really not taking your personality with you. I mean, you become a completely different person. You can be male, female, or who knows what it's like on other planets. So your soul remains the same, but your soul is very deep inside you, and it contains all the memories of these lifetimes.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something that I wanted to also discuss. And how is it that you believe there are some people who can tap into these past lives, and some people can like go into hypnotism and they can bring up all these past life memories? Do you believe that it's somewhere buried in like our subconscious, all of these memories that have been a part of our soul?
I think they are a part of us, but for whatever reason, we're not really supposed to remember them. I know a lot of people who are so into reincarnation. They're constantly having regressions and hypnosis and everything that happens to them. It's, oh, that's because in my past life, it was this. And they are focused more on their past lives than they are on their present life. And that's not what you're supposed to do. So that's why we don't really remember them. In fact, I have heard a few references to especially children who say they were given a soup to forget. So.
Well, that stinks, because I like soup, which means I'm automatically gullible. I'm automatically going to take the soup because I like soup.
So, I mean, I think it is stored. The experiences are stored in our soul. But we're not really supposed to just dwell in our past lives. We're supposed to live this life. And it's kind of a paradox too. It's kind of a double-edged sword. Now, I had a friend who felt that, I mean, she had a lot of back problems, and she felt that in a former life she had fallen off a mountain or something. She just felt certain of that. But knowing that didn't really help her back problems in this life.
Well, I just want to say, I'm just going to point this out quick here. So number one, Dana, I'm totally on board with what you said as far as people that get over the top with the regressive hypnotherapy, because you're not, even if that is the case, okay, even if our soul is like a, you know, a supercomputer of storage of knowledge and things that have happened in our past lives, and maybe I've had 100 mm-hmm. different lives, right? But I'm not supposed to remember those 100 lives, because I'm supposed to be living this one to better myself so that I can move forward to where I need to be. And I'm not going to get there. Yeah, I'm not going to get there by constantly looking backwards.
Right.
I'm sorry, Dana, go ahead.
You're not supposed to be consciously aware of it, you know, so that you can focus on this life. And I mean, I've had past life regressions. I'm not obsessed with it, but I was curious about certain things and people that were in my life at certain times. And I've been hypnotized and had a regression. There's also, I could just be making stuff up in my head. I don't know, but I have like a kind of a memory of a lifetime, and I remember it quite clearly, but it could just be, you know, all of it is just a matter of belief and faith and saying, this is what I believe and I'm going to trust in it. But I mean, I can't prove it. Nobody can really prove anything metaphysical. It's all a mystery. You have to experience it.
Yeah. Would you be comfortable sharing with us how your hypnotherapy session went?
No, it's fine. I worked at a university at the time that this I had this go on, and I didn't have any particular lifetime or idea or image in mind, but she hypnotized me. She was a past life regressionist, and it was a dark room, and I was laying down, and she had a little swirly light, and I could see it was the Old West. And, you know, she just would ask me questions like, where are you and what are you wearing and things like that. And interestingly, many of my coworkers were present in this scenario. And I actually was in this past life regression. I was Native American, and I was killed by accident. We had come into this little frontier town, and somehow or another, I had gotten run over by a wagon, and I could see the bottom, the underside of the wagon, and they carried me back to where we lived, and I could see all this stuff. They were like by a fire, and I was laid out, and they were singing over me or chanting over me. And then this owl came down and like a psychopomp and helped transport my spirit away. So that could have just, you know, that was what the experience was in a nutshell. And whether it was ever really happened or not, I can't prove it. I had another regression, and in that one, I was a French peasant. I was young, and it wasn't a very interesting life. My parents were both sick, and they brought me to this cathedral in France, and they had been promised I would be put into a convent, but instead I was used as a servant. And I just was like scrubbing the floors, and remember seeing myself scrubbing the floors. And then everyone kind of ignored me, and it was this big cathedral, and I like died of the influenza or something. So I was only like 19 or something. And I don't know why I would make up a story like that.
Right. And I got to say, you know, that stinks, because you died as a young person both times.
Yeah. I was female both times also.
Right.
So why do you think that, like, the only memories that you were given were the ones where you died?
Because people usually ask that. I don't recall asking that question or not asking. They bring you forward. Now where are you? And now where are you? And then they'll say, now let's bring you up to the time of your death. What happened?
Well, how morose is that? I'm like, why don't you concentrate on like my, you know, wedding if I had one, or
yeah.
I will say this.
I did see all that. I did see who I was married to and other friends and family members and things around me. I was just kind of condensing it for you.
Yeah, and I was going to say one of the strongest memories that you would have would be of your death if you actually saw it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, like, right. So like, you got run over by the wagon as a young Native American, and if you didn't die instantaneously, which you wouldn't have, you probably would have died of internal injuries. You know, you saw what caused your death, and then you saw the kind of the ceremony and the prayer circle around you that was trying to probably at that time, probably not trying to heal you, probably more of calling your spirit guides to come down and take you someplace better.
Right. So, and I got the impression it was a Plains tribe, and I didn't know anything about psychopomps at the time, or what certain animals meant to certain tribal traditions. But then I found out that owl, that's one of the one that I was seeing, owl was thought to come and help people transition.
So way back in high school, we were shown a movie about some kid that knocked his head, got knocked unconscious, was transported back in time to the time of slavery. And he had to live a life on there before, obviously, the movie was over. But the point of the movie was you can't go forward into your future unless you understand and realize your past. If you're not supposed to remember your past lives, then why are they still accessible by us? I mean, because there's a just hypnotism allows you to access those lives, so they're obviously kept there. Could there be a reason for that? Like if you're supposed to be bettering yourself, then shouldn't the mistakes you made in the past be remembered by your future so you don't remake them?
Well, I think it's remembered. It's on a cellular level. I just don't think it's a conscious remembrance. But I think the experiences stay with you. In the study of metaphysics, and it can get so complicated, and we still don't even understand. We're thinking in a literal, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Metaphysics teaches that, time is a human construct and there really isn't any time. So everything's kind of all happening at once. It's a lot of stuff to try to wrap your head around. And then you get into multiverses and parallel universes and things like that. Boy, if all of that was in the forefront of our consciousness, I think that'd be pretty crazy.
That would be head would explode. Well, yours
would get
mine
head.
Okay.
Just floating head, yeah.
I can't imagine how big my ego would be. That would be sweet.
You wouldn't be able to get out of the room you're in right now. The double doors aren't big enough.
Sure they would. I'd be able to squeeze it down. All right, so we have to go to commercial, unfortunately. So we'll be right back with our guest, Dana Mitchell, talking about reincarnation. And you listen to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey,
what has your attention?
Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. and they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to The Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para-X Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst. And we're back. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. Our guest this evening is the wonderful Miss Dana Mitchell. We are talking about reincarnation.
So I was wondering if you all ever, like, if something you're attracted to, like a culture or a type of music that's completely different than you've ever experienced before, what creates that interest and that attraction?
Well, it could be the person that you're with. You know, like let's say you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and they're into the Beach Boys, you know, and all of you listened to your whole life growing up for whatever reason was AC/DC and Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you meet the significant of this person you care about and they really are into beach music, this California vibe type of music. And so you give it a chance and you say, fine, you know, okay, you know, for you, I'll take a listen to it. And then all of a sudden, you know, after listening to it for a little bit, something within the Beach Boys music kind of connects with you. And you're not sure what it is, but you know that there's something there because you can actually feel like you plugged in. And I know that kind of sounds weird.
It's because you're whipped, Dave. No.
What? I'm not whipped.
I'm just saying, in your hypothetical situation, you love Beach Boys because you're whipped.
Yeah, maybe. But Dana knows what I'm saying, right? Right, Dana?
Well, how about this?
You feel plugged in.
Yeah, but suppose not only listening to the music and you feel plugged in, but maybe it's like, hey, I think I'd like to surf. And you know, everything is relative. This person that you've met who's introduced you to this, that was probably no coincidence that you met this person.
Right.
We come back in these soul groups that are supposed to help each other. We're all supposed to help each other on this earth work.
When you brought up that question, it kind of triggered a memory of mine where I might have been a rock at some point in time because back in junior high school, they had a class that I took called life science, which was in geology pretty much. And never studied it, never looked at a book about it, never read it, never did anything that had to do with you know, rocks and limestone and quartz and all this other stuff. But for whatever reason, I just picked it up. Like, it was like second nature to me. And I ended up being student of the month for that one. I got an A, and it all came so easy to me. And I was, you know, eighth grade or whatever. So reincarnation or past life never even, you know, entered my head at that point in time. But I remember being surprised at how easy it was when it was so hard. Because it's a hard topic. And so when you, for whatever reason, when you brought up that question as to whether something just comes you get into something that's different, that you don't really understand, that might have something to do with it, and that for whatever reason my memory of that kind of triggered.
Well, like my father was a professional guitar player, and he was born poor and country, with really no opportunities. And when he was 5 years old, he started playing guitar. Now, when I think of, like, you know, my 5-year-old grandson, and he banged pot lids together, that, you know, these kids that can start playing an instrument at such a young age and very, very well. Now, that was all my father ever did his whole life, was play guitar. He never worked any other kind of job. It's a very interesting story that I won't burden you with. But I've always felt that he had to have brought that in from a former life. Do either of you, do you all have children?
I do, yeah.
Well, you know, when your child is born, they're not a blank slate. You can see that. And you can see them start showing the traits and doing things that they, I mean, I see my 30-year-old daughter make expressions and say things and act the same way that I'd seen her when she was 2 years old, you know?
Right.
Yep. So they're not born blank slates. They bring something in from them from somewhere. And I always felt my father, because he was such a, like I said, he was poorly educated. He had a slight learning disability, but he understood music theory to the extreme. I mean, it was second nature to him. And I always had to think, where did that come from? Conversely, I don't know if I ever told you, my husband's a bagpiper. And he started, and his father was a bagpiper, and his brother is a bagpiper. And they weren't just bagpipers. They were like the best of the best. My husband and his brother are like champion, you know, won all kinds of competitions and everything. And their father, who started playing later in life, was well known as a teacher. And I mean, it wasn't that they were Scottish or Irish. It was just their father heard bagpipes during World War II, and he was fascinated with them. And when he came back to this country, he settled in Delaware, which, of course, is owned by the DuPonts, and went to work for DuPont. And DuPont had a pipe band. So he learned then, and when his sons were born and became the right age, he got them into it too. And my husband's played the bagpipes for 60 years. And I felt like that. Yep. What?
Oh, I was going to say, okay, well then the next time that you come on for a show, I want your husband to be in the room playing bagpipes in the background.
Oh, okay. That can be arranged.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that'd be cool. Not during the whole thing.
The whole point of my story was, I think, that interest, because all of them took to it like fish to water. And I feel like that had to have come from somewhere.
Okay, so let's take that. Okay, so let's take that. That's that personal experience that you just shared with us, and put that back into perspective. So, you know, we were talking about, you know, with reincarnation and stuff like that, that your past lives are basically recorded into your soul, but that you really don't have, you're really not supposed to have access to them. So based on what you just said, do you think then that it's possible that for some select people, for whatever reason, that some of those past life experiences can kind of bleed through?
Well, I do think they're in you with kind of like on a cellular level, kind of like a cellular memory. for things like that. I mean, my father had no recollection or thought about he got his talent or abilities from a former life. He just picked up the guitar and started playing when he was 5 years old. And I don't think he ever questioned where it came from.
Right. But I'm saying to you, do you think that that there's a possibility that like a talent like that could be there and could kind of bleed through? And, I'm not going to say bleed through because it's supposed to. Maybe it's not supposed to. Right. I mean, maybe it's there and maybe something happened and maybe, you know, this little tiny sliver of whatever made its way through. You know, because like, and as you were telling me that story, I think of the same thing. Like, so, you know, you look at these kids, you know, you see, they talk about like child prodigies who can play like all this classical piano at 5 years old. There's no way in hell that you can play classical piano like Chopin and Mozart and Beethoven and all this stuff at 5 years old. You don't even understand who those guys are. You don't even have the cognitive ability to understand who they were, let alone the type of music that they created. And yet I've seen 4 or 5 year old kids sit down at a piano and put together this virtuoso performance. And I stop and think to myself, you know, how is that possible? You don't even understand what you're playing, but you're playing it like you're the person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where does that come
from? Well, I think it comes from previous lives.
So maybe that kid in a previous life was a grand pianist, you know, like, you know, back in Europe or something like that, and was actually playing these things.
Yeah.
And then moved forward. And for some reason, that little bit of ability came with them and actually came through with them when they were born.
Or maybe they weren't finished with it when their life ended in the past life, and they were continuing with it.
So like a gift. It
was,
right. So almost like it was a gift. It was given to them at birth, saying, "Hey, we understand that you weren't that you died before you could complete what you wanted to do. So we're going to give this to you so you can complete what you were your quest you were on."
Mm-hmm.
I like that theory, but now I wonder what my quest was, because I'm not feeling special in that type of capacity. I feel like I got left out.
Maybe that's not what yours is about.
Right.
So do you believe that, and this is for either one of you, do you believe that maybe all of our past lives build up to... for one specific, I mean, and I obviously we want to be absorbed by the deity, but
Mike doesn't sound like he does, but
no,
I do.
No, I really don't. So I don't want to spend. I don't want to spend seven lifetimes to become a pizza.
No, it takes more than seven to be a pizza. But go ahead, ask your question.
Yeah.
So. So let's take the kid that Dave just mentioned who can play the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that even though the kid might not understand who Mozart is or understand the gift or anything, and he's just able to do it, do you think that perhaps all of the past lives put together are to end with that gift, that we each have a specific purpose of, you know, like your father. I mean, who's to say how many lives he affected by his music? I mean, how the people that came out to hear him play and just loved his music, and it somehow affected them in a very positive manner. So perhaps his end goal for all of his lives was to bring that to the world. Is that possible?
Of course. Like I said earlier, I think if anything's possible, all of it's possible. I think a lot of it is beyond our understanding or how we can, how we tend to think as people. I think that's there's concepts that are just too hard for us to wrap our head around. But yeah, I certainly do think that's possible. I do think that we are here now. Here comes up the question or the subject of karma. We are here to help each other fulfill, you know, their karma. So it's like sometimes you're the bug and sometimes you're the windshield.
So, Dana, has your dad passed away?
Yes.
Okay. So to further on Mike's question here, and I know that you've had some paranormal experiences and seen, you know, apparitions or and sensed entities mm-hmm. and stuff. Have you ever seen or had contact from your father after he passed?
Well, I did have an interesting experience or experiences, if you want me to relay them. He died very suddenly. He was 86 years old, and he was on a major street in Washington, D.C. He was still working as a musician. He was coming back from a gig, and he was actually going to his girlfriend's house, who is another elderly musician. And he must have had a massive heart attack, and all he was able to do was pull over to the side of the road. I mean, a good Samaritan called 911. The police came. They didn't know who he was. They took him to the hospital, and it was all very strange in that case. When I'm an only child, so I had to take care of everything myself. And when I went to retrieve his car, you know, his radio was turned up loud. He hadn't gone for his cell phone or anything. So it must have just been massive and sudden, and that was it. Well, preparing for the funeral and everything was there. Some strange things were going on too. My father was a Mason. But a few months after his death, my daughter dreamed that he didn't know he was dead. And she said to him in the dream, "Yeah, Granddaddy, we had a funeral and everything." And he was like, "No." Well, then a couple months after that, I dreamt about him that he didn't know he was dead. And it was a very lucid dream. And I said to him, "Well, where are you then?" And it suddenly like occurred to him that he didn't really know where he was or where he had been. And he was just like, "Oh, here." And I said, what have you been doing? And it was like it had never occurred to him. He had just kind of been being, I guess, or yep. still in his mind on the way to Hilda's house. So I said, and my mother had passed away 10 years before that. I said, "Have you seen Mom?" And he said, "No, but I hear her." So about 6 months later, a cousin of mine went to a medium to ask questions about her own grandmother, who was my father's sister. But her purpose was to talk about her grandmother. But the medium kept saying to her, "There's an older man, there's a man trying to get through." And the way she described him, my cousin said, "Well, that sounds like my Uncle Hank." And the medium said, "Well, he has a message for his daughter. He wants his daughter to know that he's finally crossed over and that he was helped by," and the medium said, a woman who plays piano. Well, my mother and my grandmother played piano. So, and then she told my cousin some things that my father said, like he was sorry he left such a mess for me to clean up. Which was true, as far as papers in his apartment and things like that went. And then asked me another question. One of the things, when I was preparing for the funeral, my father always wore his Masonic ring, and I couldn't find it. And he always wore it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was asking people, and they were like, "I just wanted it for the viewing. You know, they don't let you bury people with jewelry anymore."
Right.
But people were so used to seeing him wear it that that's what I was looking for. Well, I didn't find it in time for the funeral. But later when I was cleaning his apartment, like several weeks later, I sat down and something struck me in the corner of my eye. And I looked over and there was a little figurine of a horse and the ring was hanging on the horse's hoof and it was just swinging back and forth. And so one of the questions that the medium said my father wanted to know was if I had found the ring.
Nice.
I think that's that's amazing. I mean, that's amazing that it was swinging back and forth like that. I mean, that he wanted to see it. Yeah.
So Dana, thank you. And obviously we're going to have you back because we always do.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I do. I love being on your show. I have a lot of fun.
Beautiful. Thanks, that's what we like to hear. In order to just get off, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you again to Miss Dana Mitchell.
Thank you for having me.
No, I'm good. It was a fantastic show, David. Thank you very much for being on, and I hope we opened up some minds.
Perfect.
At least food for thought.
Exactly.
Perfect. Everybody, have yourselves a good night.